flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, it's a Friday here in Houston in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Hope you are having a good one. We're going to try our best to make it a better one. When y'all are already having fun, man. We're excited for the opportunity to go to New Orleans. If you haven't heard, shout out to Flight by Yingling, helping us get out there, Low T Center. You know, exclusive furniture gonna get us the hot seat.
Yep,
out there as well, man. It's gonna be really fun. And I mean, people, I hope that you guys feel the excitement that we have. In fact, someone is already asking as you're bringing the brisket, and you know, there's Flight by Yingling being brought by Sean and everything. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, "Have fun in New Orleans." Oh, sorry, that's not the text. The text was for all those going to New Orleans. Which person would be asked to bring the cups to the cookout? And why is it Parker? That's right.
Oh, man. Tyler's bringing the ice, but he's going to have to take like four trips to go get it during the event there.
Look at the shots. Yeah, so I didn't realize I need to bring something. So
no,
I
will
be,
you don't.
I will be pondering throughout the show.
I think I'm going to try to bring
you
something.
You don't need
You said
to
Clint's
bring
already being a cigars, huh?
Oh,
yes. That's what you said, right?
Oh, I got some Cubans I can bring.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Put my name on the card when you bring the Cubans?
Is that yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Very good. All right. Let's get going on this Friday. And I don't know a better way to start than talking about, well, first of all, get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. Actually, did you have an issue with the way that the Rockets-Grizzlies game closed out? Unfortunately, the thing that we were hoping to you know, do, first time in 15 years it would have happened if you got the job done last night, was the Rockets sweeping an opponent. You were 3-0 against the Grizzlies in this season coming into this game, and you had an opportunity to sweep them. No Ja Morant in this game, no Alperen Şengün on the Rockets side of things.
All-star Alperen.
That's right. All-star Alperen. We'll talk more about that here in a second. But you had an opportunity to sweep them. And, I mean, as close as about 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes to the end of the game, once you were starting to try and get into that clutch time situation, you had probably a good 6-point lead headed towards that space. Unfortunately, I mean, it got really tight, and you had a few opportunities to knock down shots very late, but you fall 120-119 in Memphis to the Grizzlies. And so 3-1 on the season against the Grizzlies, still a good season series, but not that that crossing that threshold that we were kind of hoping. But yeah, man, you lose in this game, and the last couple of possessions, you have Fred VanVleet taking shots from deep that I think had a lot of people in their feelings. And so I will ask you, just like I asked the text line again, and all people on YouTube and the people on Twitch, right? Did you have an issue with the way that game closed out, outside of just the fact that the Rockets did not get a victory?
Yeah, obviously, you know, what do you want? Would be my question, because Fred VanVleet, as we talked about just yesterday, you know, one of the most respected guys, veteran guy, kind of a heartbeat of the team. Sorry for the cliche. But who else would you want to have taken that shot outside of maybe, you know, a drive?
Jalen Green?
Yeah. Well, but Jalen Green was kind of up and down as well. Yeah, Jalen Green would be on the list. But my problem, if you will, was people after the fact saying, oh, that was a horrible shot. And, you know, why is he taking the shot? It wasn't that bad a shot. It really wasn't that
Which
bad.
Which one? The very final
the
possession?
The very final one.
So in the very final possession, if I can try and lay this out, and I probably should have the video in front of me to make sure that my memory, which can sometimes fail me, does not indeed do that in this circumstance, but you have a sideline out of bounds for an opportunity to try and win the game. It's, I mean, just a few seconds left on the clock there at the end of the fourth quarter. You have an inbound on the right side of the floor. The ball comes, Fred VanVleet is inbounding. Ball comes into Amen Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is abundantly clear and what we actually hear from Ime Udoka after the game is that the plan was for Amen Thompson to try and drive. The opportunity to get the ball on the right wing and turn the corner,
yep,
get to the rim, maybe make a play if somebody crashes in. But Amen Thompson cannot turn the corner. It's excellent defense on that
play.
Well,
they doubled him. They crashed on him. You know, there was a good stop,
yeah,
on the drive, and then the second guy came in and crashed. You got to get rid of the ball there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he gets rid of the ball, and the ball goes to Fred VanVleet, who had just inbounded the ball, mm-hmm, just gets back inside in play. And then at that point, once he gets the ball back, and we're starting at like about 7 seconds,
yeah,
here, like we're not starting with a whole bunch of time. And so by the time he gets the ball, it's, you're looking at like 5 seconds thereabouts to try and get a shot up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, at that point, you could get a shot up at that point. And
yeah,
he does. He opts to, he's open. It's a relatively deep three, but not a crazy deep
three.
Well,
he takes a ball fake and then just, well, maybe a foot behind the line, you know, a little more maybe. But, you know, yeah, you wanted the shot to go in, but it was a clean look. If you look at the video, it was a perfectly clean look.
And what's worth noting is that at the time that he gets the ball up, maybe, I mean, at that, once you get the ball over to Fred VanVleet, mm-hmm, with about 7 seconds, there is Jalen Green off to his left, but Jalen Green is being guarded by Jalen Wells.
And he's being denied.
And let's give Jalen Wells, the young buck, mm-hmm, some credit. That is one of the,
yeah,
most talented young players. I know that Reed Sheppard entered the season as the, you know, the odds-on favorite to be Rookie of the Year. Jalen Wells has taken a good amount of that credit there, and mm-hmm, some of that is because of the defense that he has. That was going to be a tough matchup to get the ball over to Jalen Green, mm-hmm, with about 4 seconds left, have him try and shed that defender and get a good look up was going to be tough. So at that point, I kind of like the idea, once that play operates as is, of Fred VanVleet getting a shot up in that time, getting it up early enough to where you could possibly get a rebound. And there was an opportunity, you just couldn't get your hands on the basketball. The thing that frustrated me, mm-hmm, about that possession, and there was the possession before, I also have some, I have a little bit of complaints about, mm-hmm, but that final possession, the thing that upset me was that you got the ball to Amen Thompson. The idea was to turn the corner. I would like for Jalen Green to be one pass away, or even Dylan Brooks, mm-hmm, to be one pass away. I would like for that ball to not have to go back to Fred VanVleet in that instance, get the ball to somebody who, either Dylan Brooks, who when he's one pass away, he's been a really phenomenal threat to knock down 3-point shots. Mm-hmm. Even in this game, he knocked down some good 3-pointers when he just got caught and shot 3 of 7 from deep,
yeah,
in this game. Dylan Brooks was like, he's been solid shooting the ball, especially when it's just catch and shoot. And then Jalen Green, for obvious reason, if you get the ball to him, he is a threat to put the ball on the ground and attack, but then also to knock down some of these kind of grenade type shots when the ball comes to him. That's one of the only things that I have there. But outside of that, once the game was kind of going, once you had that play going with 8 seconds to go, Amen Thompson doesn't get that, and now we're resorting to try and find something, I was okay with the way that it rolled.
This is a team, and maybe this is my bigger point. This is a team that you don't have one guy that you get the ball to, and hell or high water, you're either setting screens for him, he's creating his own shot, and he's going to take the shot. One guy. This team does not have that just yet. What it does have, and when you're making late game, you know, plays and drawing them up, you usually have two or three options. They went through them. They went through Amen first. Didn't work.
Which, can we stop down and,
yeah,
appreciate the fact that,
well, we said it the other day,
just a few days ago,
yeah,
Amen Thompson hits his first game winner.
And they went to
at
him.
At the age of technically 21 at that point. Hello,
yeah,
happy birthday to Amen and Ausar Thompson. Amen and Ausar Thompson,
yeah,
who are now 22. And he has the play drawn up for him, or
right,
drawn up for him.
But it's not,
I think that's
just
really interesting.
What I'm saying is, it's not just for him, where there's going to be two or three screens. He gets the ball, hell or high water. He drives and either forces or gets a shot. This team doesn't have that. Amen was,
sir,
the first option. When they're drawing up this play, it's option one, option two, option three. That's how this team is built. And you know who the three options were? Amen one, VanVleet two, Jalen Green three. It might have been Jalen Green two, but he was being denied.
Well, and he was on the other side of the floor.
So
he might have been more
he was
decoy
kind of on the 45.
Yeah, he might have been,
yeah,
more decoy at that point. Or,
but what I'm saying, those were the
crash
three guys,
yeah,
on the perimeter, either driving or waiting for a screen and a pass. What's wrong with that? That's what this team is. Like, Amen didn't have it, and then it was either Jalen Green or Fred VanVleet. It looked like VanVleet. He did a ball fake, took the shot, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I don't have problems with that. Now, I do. I appreciate the text line always cleaning me up. 713-572-4610. At that point, Dylan Brooks was out. He had fouled out at that point.
Yeah.
I think the reason why Dylan Brooks came up for me was there was possessions prior where it felt like, hey, and this is where my actual issue comes up. Mm-hmm. I think that you had opportunities in possessions prior because you had an 8-point lead mm-hmm. with about 6 minutes to go, something to that effect. I believe it was 115-107.
Yeah.
That's when this team stopped, like, focusing on the things that they did well. When I'm watching a basketball game, at least when I'm doing it the way that I'm supposed to, mm-hmm. on every given possession, I'm asking myself, what are they attempting to do right now?
Yeah.
And for the Rockets, most of the time, what they were attempting to do was looking at the Memphis Grizzlies. They have some big guys out there like Zach Edey. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Brandon Clark, he's a little bit more versatile, but they have some big guys out there. I think LaRavia was playing a little bit big. Santi Aldama mm-hmm. is another one of those bigs. Basically, look, tall guys, maybe not the best movement. They're going to play in a drop coverage, which means if you play pick and roll, you now either have a runway or you have an opportunity
to
attack.
They're going under the screen.
They were attacking the hell out of that. And it felt like in those moments where you had an 8-point lead and you were coming into that clutch time, you saw a number of possessions where they did not stick to that mm-hmm. attack. You know, what are we trying to do and attack that? You had some possessions where guys went ISO on a defender that has some pretty good, you know, mm-hmm. has a good opportunity of staying with you. Trying to go ISO on Desmond Bane is probably not where I go. If you get that switch and you have Luke Kennard in front of you, let's go cook, baby.
Yeah.
And I think the intentionality waned at some times where you put more pressure on the last couple of possessions where you get Fred VanVleet with the ball in his hands and it doesn't move and he puts up a three that misses on the penultimate possession. And then on the final possession, that's when now there's so much pressure on Amen Thompson to turn the corner and he can't. And now you end up with a shot that's not the worst shot in the world for Fred VanVleet, but it just doesn't go. And so I feel like for me, I think the intentionality is the thing that I will harp on more in those big moments. And I think that's where guys like Fred VanVleet, but that's where, and Dylan Brooks are usually good because of the veteran status that they bring. But that's where I would like to see Jalen Green have some growth and Amen Thompson have some growth where we stay locked in all the way. Where even in those possessions where it's like, yeah, we got a lead, I can get a little.
Yeah.
No. Stick to the game plan, and you can see that game out a little bit better, in my opinion.
Right on cue, I got a text from a very well respected basketball coach, and he brings up a good question. He really does because I was talking. He agrees with my.
Who is it? Go that's ahead.
Yeah, name sources.
I know.
Name Lopez.
Very well known basketball
What's
coach.
Up, John Lucas?
Listening right now. No, not him. Who
is it Rudy Tomjanovich?
I actually agreed with
Mike D'Antoni.
I'm not answering any of y'all. Who agreed with my point about they don't have that guy, right? They don't have that guy.
Yeah.
He said, that's why you actually do need to trade for a Fox, De'Aaron Fox. You know, because this is going to happen again. You know, but because the shot just didn't go in, and sometimes you just chalk it up to three games in four nights or whatever it was. And
it was the third game, but I mean, you had the night off in between. But yes,
and
three
it didn't
games
go
four
in.
Nights.
But like, if you know, coaches, hell, you know, my little pea brain basketball brain would have drawn up more than one option there, and it probably would have gone in that order. You know, Amen Thompson, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, if he has a spot. But they don't have the guy. Had John Morant played and they had the last shot, we know who would have taken the shot. Hell or high water. It would have been John Morant.
They have a couple of guys that could take
it. But, I mean,
well,
it would have been John Morant.
Or at least he's likely initiating your action there.
And that's actually an interesting question. Is that why you do need to still continue to have the guy?
I think that's why, as a team, you eventually want to get there. But I think that we continue. I'll come back and I'll fall back to, you know, the status quo here is that I think that's an eventual thing. You're good enough as is to feel some things out and figure out if you have guys that could build up to that.
Yeah.
And also, I think maybe more so this latter than that former argument, which is I think that you have a position of power to where you can have the right guy come to you.
Sure.
Right. You have time where you can wait. You have a whole bunch of assets. You don't have to jump at the first, you know, all-star caliber player. Because you mentioned De'Aaron Fox. He has been an all-star once. And in that same year, he was an all-pro. And he's a good player, but he has his faults as well. Do you want to just jump at that?
Speed
or
he does. All that stuff.
I want to know who the coach was texting you, man. Who is that?
Go ahead and send your guests in. 713-572-4610. It's also worth noting that as much as we're talking about, you know, your final options or guys that you like initiating offense, Alperen Şengün was not playing in this game. And he is one of those guys that offers an opportunity to at the very least be a hub. and a guy who could be the deciding factor in that moment with the ball in his hands and finding the right person. And Alper Sengun did not play in this game. And I actually really liked that decision, right? Mm-hmm. Going in, we talked about it yesterday. He was working on shoot around. And, you know, guys are going to shoot even if sometimes they don't end up playing. But out of an abundance of caution, I would have loved for them to win this game, to get that sweet season series sweep. This is not an end-all, be-all game for this team by any means. And I'm not saying that Alper Sengun would have, you know, drastically hurt himself and you would have lost him for weeks at a time or what have you. But why risk it? However, he wasn't there on the floor.
No.
And this is where I would like to take the time to salute Alper Sengun.
How about that?
All-star. He was announced to be an all-star before this game. Actually, not just before this game, but before the prior game on the TNT doubleheader. In fact, Kenny Smith did the honors. I think we have a little audio of that. We'll play that later. But, yeah, man, he first-time all-star for Alper Sengun, the second Turkish-born player to be an all-star after Mehmet Okur, a player that I very much despise, not because of him as a dude, but because he played for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of those things that I will hold as a personal grudge for a very, very long time. But Mehmet Okur, clearly, I think Alperin has a heavy respect for Mehmet. I think... Adam Spillane was recounting a story in which he had asked, or he was talking to Alperin about it, and Alperin made sure to shout him out.
Yeah.
Shout out that Mehmet Okur. But yeah, I believe the third youngest player to be announced, or Rocket rather, to be announced as an All-Star. Do you remember the other two?
Oh, since when now?
Just as a Rocket.
Just ever?
Drafted.
Not drafted. Announced to be an All-Star. Oh, well, no, this is the thing.
Yeah.
The drafted one is tough.
Because somebody else actually drafted him.
It's the weird NBA
Sam
thing
Presti
where nobody has...
Oh, God. Yeah,
nobody does draft
damn
day
you,
trades.
NBA.
Technically,
yes.
Technically, you are drafted to a team and then traded afterwards in order to make it league official and all that. So technically, yes, he goes as like a Thunder draftee or whatever. But I believe first home.
Somebody that actually played for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And young in age.
Yeah.
Hit me with him.
You absolutely have Yao Ming.
Oh, of course.
And of course, the dream himself, Hakeem.
Okay.
So yeah, third youngest All-Star behind those two. Some good company. Both of those ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you think? Man, Sengun, what a story. I mean, he's been playing pro basketball since he was 16.
That's right.
That's incredible. And on this game, look, overall, like, we can talk about who, you know, how you play the last, couple possessions or whatever. But overall, this was, for me, kind of a shoulder shrug type of game. And by that, I don't mean to downplay it, because you want to win them as many, if not all, that you can. But these games happen. I mean, who would have thought that Luke Kennard would play out of his mind like he did? And, there was no Sengun. And it, like I said earlier, the three games in four. Like, sometimes you just say, you know what, 120-19, those happen.
I think 121.
I think my biggest.
Yeah,
that would be a real story if it was 120-19. Oh, boy, got drug up and down the floor. Oh, my God.
I think my question after last night was, who is the guy on the Rockets?
That's what we're talking about.
Who was the last shot guy?
I think it's one of those three.
I feel like it should. I mean, I feel like in the perfect world, it should have been Jalen Green, but he's kind of,
Yeah, and I feel like this is where I refer to the man who fouled out in Dylan Brooks. Sometimes you, sometimes me, but always we. I feel like that is very much the philosophy.
That's
here,
the type of team they are this
year. That's exactly what they are, right?
Hot hand, man. Whoever seems to be going on that night and whoever is best situated is the one to go.
That's cool, but these trade rumors still going to be popping up, man.
Of course they are.
They're going to get a big at time superstar.
I mean, trade deadline is February 6th. I feel like I'm rooting for that if for no other reason than we could stop the trade rumors because the trade deadline will have hit.
Yeah.
Someone said it was Guy V. Lewis from the great basketball court in the sky from the 281. Was it Bill O'Brien? You didn't specifically say it was a basketball coach.
I said, yeah, I did.
Okay,
it
from
was
346, was it Van Chancellor? Ooh, that's a good answer. I like that. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a funky Friday. What makes it funky? I don't know. I feel funky today. Deal with it. But coming up next, all right, it feels like Chip Kelly might be out of the running. Are you good with that for the offensive coordinator job of the Texans? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop. on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Friday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. What you laughing at?
Figgy's just trolling me all morning.
Hey, I don't know what you're talking about.
Who's that coach? Why don't you report that then? Report what, Figgy? I don't know what you're talking about.
Report that coach. Report that coach.
No,
all
he's right. not talking about that.
yeah, man. A funky Friday here on
Figgy's feeling funky. Funky Figgy.
Am I?
I don't know.
I'm good. I'm ready for New Orleans, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
I think we all are. It's excited, really excited to head out to be on Radio Row out there in New Orleans all next week. Shout out to Flight by Yingling helping us get out there. Low T Center, exclusive furniture with that hot seat. There are hot seats.
Are they bringing the Lazy Boy chair out there?
I believe so. So I feel like we're gonna get great guests. If for no other reason than compared to every other station out there and every other outlet, I feel like people are going to look over me like, that looks comfortable.
Hell,
I
want to go talk to them. We got a recliner, man.
I want to go talk to them.
Hell, I might sit there.
Yeah.
Just keep it warm for the guests.
No, you're not. Well, you might be able to make that work. I was like, you're not in the hot seat, but just keeping it warm for the guests. I feel like that's a heady play by you. All right, let's turn our attention back to this Texans offensive coordinator search as... It feels like the name that a lot of people really enjoyed, really wanted for this job. In fact, hell, I got to a point where I was like, yeah, keep it simple, stupid, go here, and that's Chip Kelly. It feels very much like he is not in the running as we've gotten even more names involved in the coaching search. No C.J. Stroud, no Chip Kelly. That is one of those things where you see a name as you're talking, and what you're seeing is what comes out of your mouth instead of what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no Chip Kelly, and... Aaron Wilson of KPRC2 is going pretty far as...
It's kind of like a drive-by, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was kind of like a drive-by.
Yeah, so he put together a video where he was, you know, just basically talking about Texan situations in general. And in the course of that, he made a quick quick allusion to Chip Kelly.
That he's going to be going back to Ohio State. And I went, wait, what? You know how I felt about this. I've been a little skeptical from the very get go.
Do we have to give Lopez his props? Like I bag on Lopez.
Hey, he ain't reported.
A bit.
But he reported. So, nah, he ain't getting no credit.
All right. Well, Lopez got a little. I mean, he got real testy.
Closed mouths don't get fed, man.
Oh, Lopez with a closed mouth on Wednesday. No, he was talking it. He was like, who has reported?
Nobody. Nobody reported it. It was all like fingers crossed. Oh, I hope. You know, sort of. Hope upon hope.
It seemed like people were just pointing.
They wanted
yeah.
How about Chip Kelly? I'm like, me too. I would love to have Chip Kelly, but I'm like, who's saying that they're actually going to interview him? No one. And then of course Aaron Wilson just kind of, like I said, kind of a drive by. Said, oh yeah, he's going back to Ohio State. Nothing to see here. I'm like, was there ever anything to see? And okay.
I don't know, but Chip Kelly, who, you know, I think even recently, I think yesterday he was seen posing with a recruit
3 days in a row.
He is doing the college football thing, which is ABC.
Yeah.
Always be recruiting. He is out there recruiting, which I don't know that that would inherently mean that there's no way that he makes it to the NFL ranks again. But it seems very, very much like he is happy where he is. Maybe he even gets a nice pay bump. Yeah. That's one of the things we've speculated. But with that being the case, now how comfortable are you with the candidate pool? And I think you kind of had some Chip Kelly thoughts if he was to kind of open up.
Yeah, look, I think here's what I think has happened the entire time and why Chip Kelly became a hot name. I think the Texans have had an eye on him, have kind of thought, well, maybe even someone somewhere made a connection and say, hey, would you be interested in the Texans? Maybe not them themselves, but you know how this game works. So I think he's kind of been out there like, let's see if Chip Kelly might be interested. But it never really flourished from there. It never really developed. So what I think people are saying is, like, if they get the right signals, maybe Chip Kelly would come into play. But then I started thinking, okay, let's say that happens because it's not over yet. I mean, there's, what, 7 official interviews so far?
That's right.
And Chip Kelly is not one of them. But let's say all of a sudden he goes, I'll talk.
Not just Chip Kelly. You don't really have a lot of dudes who have a particular level of experience.
Just one. And he's in your building.
Yeah, Bill Lazor.
Yeah. But let's say they bring in, you know, that something happens and Chip Kelly all of a sudden reconsiders and there actually is a report that he's going to he's gonna speak with the Texans. I started looking at him and Is he a great fit for C.J. Stroud, other than the Ohio State connection, which they didn't really cross paths?
They did cross paths.
I mean, you get Chip Kelly, who runs just a wide open offense, even at the NFL level. He ran it. Your offensive lineman, you put more of a burden on your offensive lineman. You put more of a burden on bigger wide receivers to block. You run more of a zone, an actual zone read, which we all want, I think. C.J. Stroud to maybe use his legs some more.
Yeah, I feel like, and I mean, he basically said as much at the end of the season that, look, cat's out of the bag, and I think I need to implement this more. To what degree that actually looks like is I think worth discussing at some point.
Sure.
But yeah.
But I think we would want that.
Sure, I'm with you.
But actual, you know, zone reads and, you know run pass options and all that stuff, is that a really good fit for the personnel you have?
The personnel that you have right at this moment, I don't know. Yeah, like,
I have no clue.
There's something to be asked about, like, what the personnel that you have at this moment actually does do well, mm-hmm. right? Because it does feel like, all right.
What exactly is it you do here?
With all due respect is the way that I want to put that out there. No, I mean, the offensive line seemed to respond better to, like, gap scheme type things. But, you know, is that the full, you know, idea or are you going to be able to, like, RPO in the same way that, you know, I feel like they probably need to add? That's one of those things that I liked. I think just the prospect of a dude with the level of experience and a dude who would probably bring something a little bit different was interesting.
No, that is absolutely interesting.
It's evident that he is no longer, or maybe not fully no longer on the table, but I feel like we have to get ourselves to a place where you've talked to quite a few people and they're in an entirely different vein. Even than Chip Kelly. Like, I'm interested in with the group that they've put together. It's a lot of young guys. It's a lot of guys that maybe you look at to bring some fresh, innovative ideas coaching wise. And I know that for some people, especially if that was the reason, like being a young guy was the thing that you did not like about Bobby Slowick, that then feels a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it seems very evident, at least with the seven guys that you got there, minus Bill Lazor, who is an internal candidate that I think that is a large reason why you give him a look there. It's a lot of young guys here. And so Chip Kelly maybe doesn't even fit with that kind of profile that seems like you're starting to develop on the OC search.
But he has his advantages. But he has his advantages, obviously. But let's hear from Jason Kelsey. And tell me, I want you and Figgy and our listeners, 713-572-4610. Tell me after you hear this, if you think Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, and Tytus Howard.
Oh, man, you're picking on these dudes.
Well, they're the three that are obvious. Number one could fit in this offense, and number two could drop at minimum 20 pounds.
In Chip Kelly's offense, I remember the scale saying 270-something. I was like, oh, crap, I got to eat some food.
But I feel like for your game, like, that's not, I mean.
Well, in Chip's offense, it wasn't that bad because there was all no, like, there was no stopping. So it, like, benefited you a little bit to be lighter. It did not transition well for when we stopped and huddled. It was actually a big transition going back to Doug's offense because I forgot how much, when the defense has more energy, how much more that impacts how well they bull rush and how hard they
especially
play.
Especially later in drives.
Yeah, three and outs. It was a lot of Chip's offense was like three and outs over scoring. Like, it was one of those things where, like, when we built momentum, it was really hard to stop. It was hard sometimes to get that.
To get going.
Yeah.
So are those guys willing to maybe lose 20 pounds, be more nimble, and be guys that can run Chip Kelly's offense?
And I think it's worth noting that is, you know, Chip Kelly, when he first came to the league, coming off of that Oregon job where he was very, very in on, like, the speed and the, you know, the tempo offense, where I think he's walked that back a little bit.
Yeah.
You watched a lot of Ohio State, and it's not like they were playing.
It was not like that.
No. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that there is a little bit of versatility.
It ain't look like
game.
That Oregon offense he was running at
right.
one point.
Right, but I mean, I think that if he would want to come in and have that level of tempo, that does not feel like something that fits the personnel that you have right now, even though I think a lot of people would like to see a significant change in the personnel. I think also you have to consider what you have in building, even if you hope to maybe change it, because you'd be in a really bad place if you go, no, we're going to change the personnel, and then you look up and you go, actually, we probably can't. Can you make do with this?
Yes.
With a offensive coordinator you
Which is kind of what Bobby Slowick went through.
I could see that as well.
Yeah.
From the 281, John, sounds like the Texans need the Bobs. Don't do that. I'm just going to tell you right now, don't do that. Why are you doing that? What was that for? But yeah, man. Looks like Chip Kelly might be out of the running here, and as if, I guess the better way of saying it is, he might not have ever been in the running.
Yeah, I wonder if he, I feel like he actually want to try to get back in the NFL as a head coach.
That's a great question.
I don't know. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know if he want to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
He's 61 years old, making $3 million a year or whatever it is, or two and a half, I think, and is due a big raise. And he's got a bird's nest on the ground, man. I mean, yeah. He's just sitting there.
And yeah. I think if he do really good at Ohio State this season, I think I could see a team giving them a chance to be a head coach.
Maybe.
Because he was a head coach before, and those first 2 years was actually okay.
Yeah.
He went 10-6.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. What things are frustrating to wait on but worth the wait? Shout out to Bregman and the OC. Well, 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Ooh, that is funky. I like what you're doing there.
Funky Figgy, I'm telling
funky
you.
Funky Figgy on a funky
today,
Friday in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Question of the day, Tom. What things are frustrating to wait on but worth the wait? 713-572-4610. Also, shout out to the folks on the YouTube who are, I mean, still knee deep in Rockets conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Really hoped that you got a win in that game yesterday. But again, still acquitted themselves pretty well when you consider missing quite a few players. That was a Jabari Smith Jr. miss. Mm-hmm. Not having him, I'm sure, definitely helped or hurt, rather, in that game. But no Alperin, and you still end up in that space. Although I know John Morant on the other side was not playing. But yeah. Really fun Rocket situation, but this one was more inspired by the other two teams.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about Alex Bregman, will they, won't they, that continues to go on even further on, and every day we get more information that makes it even more perplexing. Today the information is that Jorge Polanco signs.
He go.
Over, he re-signs with the Mariners, mm-hmm. So that fallback plan, I guess, that it seemed like, or maybe more of a, you know, the plan that they were attacking,
mm-hmm.
is no longer in play, so it's like, alright, Bregman, I guess. And then, of course, the Texans OC, which it really hasn't been that long, if we're going to be completely honest.
Feels like a million.
But it does.
Yeah.
It feels longer than that it has been. But yeah, what's worth waiting for, even though it's frustrating?
So what are you? You know, you got to wait. It's just part. It's just the way it is. But it's worth it. Like here we are tapping our fingers, and you know, waiting for Bregman, waiting for an offensive coordinator. I thought of a couple of them, but I'm interested in our listeners. 713-572-4610.
And I think somebody came in from the 346 with like the leader in the clubhouse. Like they started the bidding very high, which is payday.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
waiting
yeah.
on the first and the 15th, baby.
Yeah,
that is
yeah.
worthwhile.
I'm waiting for at least three shows that I binged, and then I got to the end. And they haven't cranked them back up yet.
Yeah, that's getting harder to sell now.
That's a little tricky, man.
That's the worst. It's like, you know, and then you get teases like, oh, you know, whatever show it is.
I think the worst is when the season ends and you like, oh, I can't wait to the next season.
And it's next year.
And yeah. Or even when they get back to that show, it's like, man, I waited all year for this.
Yeah.
No, I feel like
that's when you'd be a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I feel like those are still fine. Like, you know, in the normal run of seasons as TV had been.
Yeah.
Now TV has gotten to a place where you're having these series where, like House of the Dragon or what have you, mm-hmm. where it's like, all right, well, yeah, there you go. There's the end of the season. Next season in 2 years, and you're like, what?
Exactly.
Yeah. What the hell
exactly.
is happening?
2027.
Or you get the reports. They're thinking about rebooting it. We're thinking about it. We got to see it. Let's go. That's one that I got like two or three shows right now that I'm like, come on.
Are they the reality ones or scripted?
No, just regular shows like Shrinking. I haven't watched it. I binged like all three or four seasons, whatever it was, and now it's not coming back for like a year.
See, look at you. Don't you feel silly? You
should, I know.
What kind of show is that?
It's a really cool show.
Apple Plus,
yeah,
okay. Apple TV Plus. I can't remember what the actual premise of it is.
It's about it's shrinking. It's about a uh-huh. psychologist, yep. mm-hmm. about a psychologist and his own problems and his own family. But it's this really funny and really cool, you know, really good as well.
What's my guy's name that stars in it again?
I don't care his name. Oh, boy, you would ask.
Because I almost called him his character's name from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, that's
the
guy.
Yeah. Some other things that have come in, things that are worth the wait, even if frustrating. Somebody says, sexy time with the wife.
Sure.
Touche. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially if it's the wife. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you might need to go make something happen.
Or what about before you get married and, you know,
the abstinence.
Yeah.
I'm interested in hearing what the text line and what the people have to say about that, because I have some people that are like, nope.
Well, just as a grandpa, it seems like my daughter-in-law has been pregnant for 2.5 years.
I was going to say that, too. Waiting on the baby.
How about this? This is one that just, I guess as you get older, you just get more frustrated with it. A concert to start.
Because you're just thinking about, hey, man.
Man, it's pushing 10 o'clock, baby.
The opener has to come out. They don't come out like, they don't do an encore. When am I getting to sleep?
Yes, exactly.
Nah, sometimes it's frustrating, too, because I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get there a little late because they usually late. And the one time I did was for Ken the Man concert.
Oh, she was on time, huh?
Bruh, I got in almost at the end of the concert. I'm like, she started on time? They said 9 o'clock, the show start. She started probably about 8:50.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? So I missed most of the show.
Shout out to the homie Sean Pendergast, of Pain and Pendergast, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every morning here on Sports Radio 610. He said, when you have a vacation planned out, like five months out, and you're just like, I can't wait. I can't wait.
That's a great one.
One is for me. I went through this recently, buying a house.
Oh, yeah.
Going through that process.
That process.
Yeah, where you just like, because you go through a process where everything go on point, but then it's a waiting process.
Yeah.
Where you waiting for a couple weeks. And then they come through like, all right, we good to go. Let's come through and sign the rest of the papers.
I was thinking about that one with the concert. Remember when I went to Guns N' Roses last year?
Yeah.
Dude, there was a guy yelling behind us because they were supposed to start like at 8:30. It was 10 o'clock and they hadn't started yet.
Oh, man.
And the dude behind me was like, there's old people out here. Hurry up. There's old people out here.
Wait, did he mean that they were just tired or like they might die if you don't get this done?
I could just get started.
And shout out to the text line, knowing that his name is Jason Segal.
Jason Segal.
That's right. Segal, rather. I said his name wrong. I made him into someone entirely different. For me personally, it always has to do with food. Like, but like a well-cooked, either home-cooked meal or just like a really good restaurant.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And the thing about it for me is, like, I'm cool with waiting because especially if I'm cooking a meal or if I went to a restaurant, I know that that's part of the process. The thing that gets under my skin is the person that goes and they're just like, what's taking them so long? Like, they back there cooking it. Like, literally, you ordered it, they took it back there. And now, that's outside of the circumstances where it's like, this is clearly taking a long time.
Yeah.
But, like, within the normal, and the people are like, well, I'm hungry. I'm like, yeah, but we got here and you were already hungry. That's more on us than it is on
sometimes
on
it takes about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing with the restaurant is that super awesome restaurant you've been looking forward to forever, you know, and all of a sudden you get there and you're like,
yeah, that'll be an hour and a half.
Yeah, an hour and a half.
Oh, the wait. Yeah, the wait time. See, now the wait time, that's when we play a game.
Yeah.
Well, hey, y'all know that if you're in there with a group, they say that wait time before you say anything, everybody look at each
other.
They're
like, what do you think? What do you think?
You want to do this? I do that to my wife every time.
You want to do
45 minutes. You good with that?
Sunday lunch?
Whatever with me.
Yeah. You go to Sunday lunch and everybody from church is in there waiting. You're like, oh, man. Nah. Yeah. We might need to
I joke around I joke around with my wife all the time because she always pick a Sunday morning to go to like Cracker Barrel. I'm like, yo, yeah, great. Everybody waking up Sunday morning wanting to go to Cracker Barrel. Exactly. That's the best time to go. Huh?
I got an idea on Sunday morning. Let's go to IHOP. No.
No, it's jam-packed.
No.
Or, dude, just know you got to wait for it. Yeah. Somebody said, while duck hunting?
Duck hunting, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I imagine fishing is a similar way. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I'm not, like, super excited for those instances. Although, I probably do want to go fish just to get the experience. I never fish. Oh,
you came to the right place.
Yes, I very much did.
He ain't going to take you fishing.
I'm not, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Hey, you talk about it. You ain't take nobody here fishing, never.
You don't know that.
Oh, wow, this is a good one.
You don't know that.
This is a good one, because I actually disagree with this. From the 281, when the parking lot is full, but finding a spot close to the entrance, I am in full disagreement. Just park. Go ahead and walk it in.
I always do that.
You're not, like, those extra steps, probably good for you. Like, we live a sedentary lifestyle. Get them steps in, baby. Yeah. Like, park at the back. Sometimes I park at the back just to do it. It's a little bit sicko, I understand, but I'm just like, eh.
You know a weird one? And we may be experiencing this next week. Like, you've been looking forward to this vacation or this trip. And then with a couple of days left in the trip, you're like, man, I'm ready to get home.
Oh,
man. I'm ready to get home.
All the time,
Which is funny because somebody mentioned cruises, and they just said cruises, and I'm like, waiting to go on the cruise or once you're on the cruise, waiting to get home? Because I do think that,
like, starting vacation and then like 5-6 days in, you're like, yeah, let's get
home. The right vacation timeline? Because, like, I feel like there's a given time on any vacation where you go, all right, time to go home.
Yeah.
And I know that people say, like, Vegas, you're good for like 3 days. And after that, you get the hell out of there. I feel like a cruise, you're probably in that 5 to 7 day range where you're like, yeah, let's go home.
Yeah.
Is that just like, is it 5 to 7 days on any vacation? Or for you, are there like,
I'm generally
ones?
A week. Yeah. I'm generally like that. But I like to take that extra day just to recharge at home, that off day before you come back to work.
Somebody said getting home from deployment, Sailor Jimmy. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure
you just got a calendar you're marking off.
Yeah.
And then in a similar way, there's a few people that mentioned retirement. In fact, shout out to Jay Foxman on the YouTube said retirement at the end of August. Salute to you. But yeah, I imagine I've been talking to my mom a lot about this, and she's like a few years out, and she just, I could retire in 3 years.
Down the
I could
days.
Retire in 5 years. And I'm like, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is making it more difficult doing it this way.
Got a text on the bad phone?
Bad phone.
Prison.
Yeah.
What about moving day?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because you be sitting there like, man, it's time to move. But once it come, and you all moved in, you're like, I'm good now.
What, 3 months in? Because is anybody ever actually all moved in on day one?
No, God,
you got boxes.
not all moved in, but getting
started.
Everything is there in the house.
Yeah.
The other place is done.
Sean Pendergast, when the Texans were terrible. The NFL draft.
That's right. And you know what that is? That might just be like you're waiting for the relief of, all right, we're not doing mock drafts anymore.
Yeah.
We know what this is.
Well, you've done so many.
Yes, we can move through this. And a decidedly Houston one. Mm-hmm. Timmy Chance to call your number.
Yeah.
That's right. Just when you're just waiting, or just waiting in line anywhere, and you're just waiting for that number to be called, because you're just ambling about. You don't have a really good thing that you're doing in that moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. Some of the question of the day. What are the things that are frustrating to wait on but worth the wait? We'll see. Hopefully both of these instances are worth the wait.
Come on, Breggy. Come on, OC.
Yeah, man. At this point, I mean, let's go ahead and get this Bregman thing done, because if you don't, what have we spent all this time for? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, OC. Like, you just need this to be the case, because if you don't, it's going to be real frustrating to not have an offense that is firing all along cylinders, considering the way that this defense.
What about waiting on test results?
Ooh,
well, is that good or bad?
It depends on what the actual result is.
Yeah,
then sometimes they are not worth the wait.
I mean, it could be a school test. Yeah. It could be a health test. Mm-hmm. Just sitting there waiting. And once you get the results, you're like, I feel a little better.
Yeah.
Somebody started talking about, football season to start. That's a great answer.
Yes, it is.
I feel like I'm the wrong person to say that, though, because I'll get into the middle of the season. I'm like, damn. I'm ready to go. And then we'll get into off season. I'm like, why was I ready to go get out of football season so much? I want to get back to that. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're listening on the Odyssey app. A few people have let us know that they're listening on the Odyssey app. So I know that they are going to be entered into the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest that Odyssey's putting on. All you got to do is listen to Sports Radio 610 for an hour each day to get your daily entry into this contest. And the winner will be headed to Vegas with a flight and hotel accommodations for them and three guests, plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball tourney. That's right. All you got to do, listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app. Make sure you're signed in for that to go through. All right, coming up next, let's go around the NFL, where I have a reason why this Heat executive is rooting on a particular team to win the Super Bowl. I'll explain what I mean next.